Welcome back to the Deep Dive. If you've ever been stuck on a really critical business call, only to have the other person sound like a choppy, echoing
Oh
robot.
yeah, that universal frustration.
Exactly. Bad VoIP quality. It's more than just annoying, isn't it? It kills productivity, and sometimes it can make your company look, well, fundamentally unstable.
And that's really the core insight from the material we looked at. People often jump to blaming the VoIP tech itself, thinking it's just inherently unreliable. But that misses the mark. When it's deployed correctly, with really meticulous systematic planning, modern voice over IP, it can actually give you way better quality than those old analog lines.
And save money too, usually.
Oh, absolutely. While cutting expenses quite dramatically.
So our mission today is to cut through all that confusion, maybe bust some infrastructure myths. We want to shortcut you straight into a systematic framework for getting reliable, high-quality voice over IP.
And we're using the 3CX Unified Communications Platform as a key example here.
Especially looking at how it integrates smoothly with Microsoft Teams. We really want to pin down what separates the successful, crystal clear VoIP setups from those, frustrating business-killing failures.
Let's do it.
So let's unpack this whole systematic process. But I think before we jump into the solution, the how-to, we really need to understand the landmines first.
Good idea. Know the enemy.
Exactly. Our sources highlight, I think it was five common mistakes, things that just sink most VoIP projects before they even really get going.
And what's really fascinating, or maybe predictable, is that these failures almost always circle back to a lack of preparation.
Not the tech itself.
Rarely the core technology. It's usually about inadequate infrastructure investment or just a systematic failure to plan things out properly.
So pitfall number one.
Insufficient bandwidth planning. This one's huge. Companies consistently underestimate how much bandwidth good quality voice calls actually need.
Especially during busy times, right? Peak usage.
Precisely. And the critical point here is symmetric bandwidth. Your upload speed is just as vital as your download speed.
Because it's a two-way street, the conversation needs data flowing both ways at the same time.
Exactly. If someone starts uploading a huge file and your upload bandwidth is choked,
Your voice call turns into garbage, which I guess leads directly into the second pitfall. Network prioritization neglect.
you got it. This is where quality of service or QoS comes in. It has to be configured properly.
Explain that a bit. What does QoS actually do?
Well, without QoS, your network treats those really time-sensitive voice packets, the ones that need to arrive in order, quickly exactly the same as, say, a background email attachment download.
Or someone streaming cat videos.
Or someone streaming cat videos, yeah. So when the network gets busy, your voice calls get stuck in that digital traffic jam.
And that's when you get the choppy audio, the delays, the dropped calls, basically an unreliable system you can't run a business on.
Correct. Which brings us to pitfall three, inadequate hardware.
Ah, yes. I remember troubleshooting this once. The expert on the other end sounded like they were, I don't know, transmitting from the moon.
And the cause.
Turned out their entire enterprise phone system was running through a like $50 consumer router from a big box store.
That's a perfect and sadly common example. Consumer gear just doesn't have the processing power. It doesn't have the real QoS capabilities or the reliability features that business communications demand.
So trying to save a few bucks there.
It guarantees bottlenecks, unpredictable performance, endless troubleshooting. You end up paying for it one way or another, believe me.
So bandwidth, QoS, hardware. What's pitfall four?
Pitfall four is one IT teams sometimes overlook because they're focused on the pure tech specs. Integration complexity. Meaning, if you force your employees to constantly juggle different disconnected systems, like a separate app for the phone, another one for chat, maybe a totally different platform for video calls.
They hate it.
They hate it. They resist adopting it. Productivity drops, and then they start finding workarounds. Shadow IT pops up, completely bypassing all your careful planning.
Right, undermining the whole system.
Yeah.
You said five pitfalls. What's the last one? Maybe the most crucial.
The fifth one really ties into that complexity issue, and it's rushing deployment and skipping pilot testing.
The let's just roll it out everywhere now approach.
Exactly. The sources are really clear on this. There's often this huge pressure, right, to cut costs immediately. So businesses skip the vital pilot phase.
But that's where you find the problems.
That's where you find the problems. If you roll out a new system company-wide without testing it thoroughly, with a small, maybe tech-savvy, maybe high-stakes pilot group first.
You're basically guaranteeing that any infrastructure glitches or user adoption issues are going to explode into expensive company-wide chaos later on.
Precisely. Find the problems when they're small, contained, and relatively cheap to fix, not when everyone is relying on the new system.
Okay, that paints a pretty clear picture of how things go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pivot now. Let's talk solutions. This is where 3CX comes into the picture, presented as a platform that tackles these failures directly.
Right. It aims for that enterprise-level reliability, but hopefully without the massive complexity headache we just talked about.
So how does it do that? What's the core idea?
The foundational idea is the shift to a truly unified communications platform.
Unified meaning everything in one place.
Pretty much. Consolidating voice calls, video conferencing, live chat, even SMS messaging and present status, all into one single streamlined interface.
And the benefit there is?
It drastically cuts down on training time and complexity. Employees have one system to learn, one place to manage all their communications. Adoption tends to happen much faster.
Makes sense. But, you know, lots of companies are already deeply invested in Microsoft Teams. They use it for chat, for internal meetings. They can't just ditch it.
Absolutely not, and they shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
That's where the native Microsoft Teams integration becomes really important.
So it works with Teams, not against it.
Exactly. Instead of forcing a choice, 3CX actually enhances Teams. It adds those professional carrier-grade phone features that Teams lacks on its own natively.
Like what kind of features?
Things like really advanced call routing options,
mm-hmm.
complex call queues for support or sales teams, robust digital receptionists, detailed call reporting, stuff that Teams just wasn't built for initially.
So you're respecting the company's existing investment in Teams, but adding serious telephony power on top.
Precisely. You extend Teams' value into true enterprise-level phone capabilities.
Okay, let's talk about call quality again. If we're worried about those choppy calls, what's under the hood? What makes the technology potentially superior?
Well, it comes down to modern codec support. Specifically, the platform supports G.722.
Which gives you...
true high-definition HD voice quality,
mm-hmm.
much clearer, richer sound than old phone lines, but maybe even more important, especially for remote or hybrid workforces,
yeah.
is the Opus codec. Opus is... It's pretty remarkable tech. It intelligently adapts to whatever bandwidth is available in real time.
Adapts how?
It adjusts the compression on the fly. Mm-hmm. So it can maintain surprisingly good, intelligible voice quality, even on really challenging low bandwidth or unstable internet connections situations where older standard codecs would just completely fall apart.
So Opus is kind of like a safety net for less than perfect network conditions.
In a way, yes. It helps compensate for some of those infrastructure issues we discussed, which is almost a necessity with today's distributed workforces.
Okay, quality sounds good. Integration makes sense. But let's face it, the CFO, the finance department, they're laser focused on the bottom line. How does this stack up financially? Does it actually save money?
The potential savings are significant and often a primary driver. The sources consistently mention organizations reducing their total communication expenses by somewhere in the range of 40 to 70% compared to their old traditional PBX systems.
40 to 70%, that's huge. Where do those savings actually come from? It sounds almost too good to be true.
Well, if you can genuinely deliver on that, then the planning framework we're outlining isn't just technically smart, it's financially essential, right?
Right.
The savings aren't magic. They come from cutting out specific, often expensive legacy components. Things like canceling those recurring monthly charges for old PRI lines or dedicated analog circuits.
Getting rid of the old hardware costs.
Exactly. Consolidating expensive proprietary software licenses from multiple vendors and eliminating the high maintenance costs tied to physical PBX hardware that always needs patching, updating, and specialized support.
Okay, if those savings are real, then getting the deployment right following those steps becomes absolutely critical.
Of course, yeah.
Now, the source material laid out a full 8-step framework. For today, we decided to skip some of the detailed configuration steps, user testing, deploying peripherals, steps 3, 4, 6, and 7, because we really want to focus on that network foundation and the crucial integration piece.
Makes sense. Let's nail the fundamentals first.
So let's kick off with step 1, assessing network infrastructure for readiness.
Right. This is all about auditing what you currently have before you deploy anything. You need to find those hidden bottlenecks before they start wrecking your call quality. It's definitely more involved than just running a quick internet speed test.
So what specifically are we looking for?
Okay, specifics. As a baseline, you need to plan for at least 100 kilobits per second, both upload and download, for every single concurrent call assuming standard codecs.
100K up and down per call.
For simultaneous call, yes. Plus, you need to factor in about 20% extra for overhead network protocols and signaling.
So let's make that concrete. A small business, maybe 20 employees, and they expect maybe 10 people might be on calls at the same time during peak hours.
Okay, so 10 calls times 100 kilobit piece is 1 megabit piece. Add 20% overhead.
Yeah.
You're looking at needing roughly 1.2 to 1.5 megabits per second of dedicated symmetric bandwidth just for the voice traffic.
Dedicated is the key word there. It can't be shared bandwidth that vanishes when someone else starts a big download.
Correct. But speed alone, even dedicated speed, isn't the whole story, right? The quality of that connection is just as, if not more, important.
Right. What are the key quality metrics then?
Three main ones you absolutely have to watch. First, consistent low latency. That's the delay. It should ideally be under 150 milliseconds, round trip.
Okay, low delay. What else?
Second, very low jitter. Jitter is the variation in latency. If packets arrive unevenly spaced, the audio gets choppy. Jitter needs to be under 30 milliseconds.
Under 30 meters for jitter. Got it. And the third?
Minimal packet loss. Basically, data packets getting dropped somewhere along the network path. This needs to stay under 1%.
Wow.
If your network consistently fails on latency, jitter, or packet loss, your VoIP quality will suffer, no matter how great your phone system or codec is.
Okay, those metrics make perfect sense. And making sure the network can meet those metrics transitions us perfectly into step two, implementing quality of service, QoS. You said earlier this is maybe the single most critical technical factor for quality once you're live.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Once you're in a production environment with competing traffic, proper QoS is what ensures those voice packets win the priority battle. The network must prioritize the human voice over less time-sensitive data.
So how do we actually achieve that prioritization? How do we tell the network, hey, this packet is important?
It typically involves two key configurations working together. First is VLAN segmentation.
Virtual LANs, like creating separate networks within the physical network.
Exactly. You create dedicated virtual LANs specifically for voice traffic. This completely separates the voice packets from your regular bulk data traffic, emails, file transfers, web browsing. Think of it like giving voice its own dedicated express lane on the digital highway.
Okay, so VLANs separate the lanes. But how do you guarantee voice gets the right of way, even in its own lane, if things get congested?
That's where the second piece comes in, DSCP markings.
DSCP?
Differentiated service scope point. You configure your network equipment, your business-grade routers and switches, to actually mark the voice packets with specific DSCP values.
Like putting a special label on them.
Precisely. The standard marking for voice is called expedited forwarding, or EF. You can think of the DSCP EF marking as being like a like an emergency vehicle siren attached to each voice packet.
Okay.
It tells every router and switch along the path, get out of the way. Process this packet immediately. It's critical. It provides instant network-wide prioritization.
That makes sense. But wait a minute. Setting up VLANs, configuring DSCP markings, that sounds complicated. Is that something a typical mid-sized business IT team can realistically handle? Or do you need expensive networking gurus?
That's a really important practical question. The sources do suggest that, yes, it requires specialized knowledge. It's not trivial.
Right.
However, modern platforms like 3CX usually come with very detailed deployment guides. They provide validated configurations and lists of certified compatible hardware routers, switches that are known to handle QoS properly.
So the complexity is reduced if you follow the recipe.
Exactly. If you stick strictly to the vendor's recommendations and use appropriate commercial-grade QoS-aware equipment, it becomes much more manageable. It's definitely a hurdle, maybe some upfront pain, but it saves you potentially months of reactive troubleshooting and poor quality calls down the line.
Okay, so assuming we've got that solid foundation, the bandwidth, the QoS, the right hardware, let's jump ahead now to step five, MS Teams integration. How do we actually make 3CX and Teams talk to each other effectively?
The key technical mechanism that bridges the two systems is called direct routing.
Direct routing.
Essentially, you configure 3CX to act as the SIP trunk provider, that session initiation protocol within the Microsoft Teams admin environment.
So 3CX becomes the phone line for Teams, basically.
That's a good way to think about it. It provides the technical pipe that allows your users, who are already comfortable inside Teams, to make and receive calls to the external public phone network, PSTN.
And they get the advanced 3CX features while doing that.
Yes. While still leveraging 3CX's more sophisticated telephony features in the background, Things like those complex call queues, advanced routing rules, maybe call recording compliance features that Teams might not handle natively. It effectively bridges Microsoft's strength in collaboration with 3CX's strength in enterprise telephony.
Got it. Now let's talk about reliability. What happens when the inevitable occurs? You know, the backhoe cuts the fiber line, the power goes out, the main internet connection just fails.
Yeah, the inevitable. Redundancy planning is absolutely critical. The sources really hammer this point home. Single points of failure will eventually fail. It's not if, it's when.
So you have to plan for it. What does that look like?
It means building in backups. Ideally, you want backup internet connections, maybe from different providers using different technologies like fiber plus cable or fiber plus fixed wireless.
Different physical paths if possible.
Absolutely. You also need things like cellular failover devices.
Yeah.
So calls can automatically route over 4G or 5G if the primary connections die.
And what about reaching people if the whole system is down?
Critical point. You need automatic call forwarding rules configured. So if the main system is unreachable, calls automatically reroute to employees' mobile phones. No single point of failure.
Okay, makes sense. Build in layers of backup. Finally, let's get to step 8, monitoring and metrics. We've built this great system, hopefully. How do we actually prove it's working well beyond just anecdotal, yeah, the calls sound fine now?
We need objective, quantifiable measures. The primary one in the voice world is the Mean Opinion Score, or MOS.
MOS, I've heard of that. How does it work?
It quantifies the perceived voice quality on a simple 1 to 5 scale. Think of it like getting a user star rating for every single phone call, but calculated algorithmically based on network stats.
So what's a good score? What should we aim for?
We're not aiming for average, like a 3 or 3.5. Mm-hmm. For genuinely good, clear, professional-sounding calls, you need to be targeting and achieving MOS scores consistently above 4.0.
Above 4.0. That's the gold standard.
That's the target for consistently good perceived quality.
Okay, a clear metric. And what about those network numbers we talked about earlier? Latency, jitter, packet loss. Are those just a one-time check during setup?
Oh, absolutely not. They require continuous, ongoing monitoring. You need to use network monitoring tools to constantly track those 3 key metrics.
Why continuously?
Because keeping jitter under 30 meters, latency below 150 meters, and packet loss under 1% is non-negotiable for sustained quality. More importantly, watching the trends in these metrics can often predict quality degradation before users even start complaining loudly. If you see jitter starting to creep up consistently, you can investigate and fix the underlying network issue proactively before it becomes a full-blown crisis.
Proactive, not reactive. I like it. Okay, one last metric. Let's bring it back to the money, the financial justification we discussed. How do we prove this whole project was actually worth the investment?
You need to track the total cost per user for communications. This is the ultimate proof point.
Comparing the new system to the old?
Exactly. This calculation confirms the real financial value by showing the comprehensive cost savings. You should be able to clearly demonstrate that expected 40 to 70% reduction in total communication costs compared to whatever legacy PVX or mix of systems you had before.
So the goal is hitting that MOS quality target while also hitting the cost reduction target.
That's the definition of a successful deployment, yes.
Yeah.
High quality, measurably lower cost.
Okay, that wraps up the framework really nicely. So a reliable communication system, one that actually delivers those crystal clear calls and respects the budget, it really boils down to systematic planning.
Absolutely. Planning and investing in the right professional grade infrastructure. Not cheap consumer gear.
And choosing a platform, like 3CX in this example, that's unified but also plays well with the collaboration tools you already have, like Teams.
It's that preparation and the careful execution of the plan that really dictates success. It's not about luck, and it's not just about buying the latest shiny technology.
Well said. Okay, before we wrap up, here's that final provocative thought for you, our listener, to mull over based on our discussion today.
Uh-oh.
We clearly identified that rushing deployment company-wide, skipping that pilot phase, is a guaranteed pitfall, right?
It definitely seems like a recipe for disaster.
So if we know that phase rollouts, starting with small, maybe high-stakes pilot groups, are absolutely key to finding problems when they are still cheap and relatively easy to fix, how often do you think the intense, immediate pressure from executives, pressure to realize those impressive 40, 70% cost savings right now, forces businesses to skip that vital pilot stage? And in doing so, are they basically guaranteeing they'll only discover the inevitable technical glitches and user resistance when those problems have scaled up to become massively disruptive, expensive, company-wide failures later on?
Yeah, that's a tough trade-off. Short-term savings pressure, versus long-term stability and success. Something to think about.